Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Seoul Pride-style jungle sampler rack in Ableton Live 12, and then shaping it into a riser that actually works inside a drum and bass arrangement. So this is not just about making a cool chop sample, it's about making a transition that feels musical, gritty, and intentional. We're talking soulful source material, jungle-style slicing, saturation, filtering, pitch movement, echo, and arrangement choices that lead the listener right into the drop. Let's get into it. First, the big idea. A convincing riser in jungle or D&B usually has more than one layer of tension going on. You want movement in rhythm, movement in tone, and movement in space. In other words, the chops get denser, the filter opens up, and the sound gets wider or more atmospheric as it moves toward the drop. That's the mindset here. Start by choosing a source sample with character. A soulful vocal phrase is perfect, or a jazz stab, a gospel chop, an old break with tonal fragments, or a melodic loop with some room sound and grit. You want something that already has a musical center, because that gives the rise some identity. If the sample is too plain, the whole transition can end up sounding generic. Once you've got the sample, bring your project to 174 BPM. That's a very natural tempo zone for this style. If your sample is a loop, drag it into an audio track and turn warp on. For a full sample, Complex Pro is usually a safe starting point. If it's more percussive, Beats Mode can work well. At this stage, don't obsess over perfection. Just get it locked to the grid in a way that feels musical. Now we build the sampler rack. Create a MIDI track and drop drum rack onto it. On one pad, load the sample into Sampler. Then switch Sampler to Slice Mode. For this kind of jungle chop, transient slicing is often the best first move, because it gives you fragments with personality and punch. You can also try beat or region slicing if the sample behaves better that way. If the phrase needs more control, manual markers are fine too. The goal is to turn one sample into playable pieces. From there, map those slices across your MIDI notes. You're not trying to recreate the original loop. You're building a new phrase from the fragments. Now write a short riser pattern over one or two bars. The energy should climb in activity as much as pitch. For example, you might start with a low chop on beat 1, bring in a higher chop on the upbeat of 2, hit a brighter slice on beat 3, then use quick repeats or tighter stabs leading into beat 4. Right before the drop, you can finish with a more stretched or pitched up hit. That's the jungle trick. The rise is not just going up in pitch. It's getting busier, more urgent, and more compressed in time. Now let's add some edge. Put saturator after the sampler, or inside the chain if you want to shape the sample before the other effects react to it. Start gently. A drive of +2 to +6 dB is often enough. Turn soft clip on, and keep an eye on output level so you're not fooled by loudness. This is important. Saturation is not just for distortion. It's for harmonics, density, and presence. It can make a thin sample feel full, make transients bite harder, and help the whole riser cut through a busy breakbeat and bassline. If the sample is already aggressive, back off the drive and use soft clipping more subtly. A small amount goes a long way. Before things get too wild, clean the sample up with EQ8. If there's unwanted low-end rumble, high-pass it. For a riser, that might mean anywhere from 120 to 200 HE, depending on how much body you want to keep. If it sounds boxy, trim a little around 300 to 500 HE. If it needs more presence, a small boost around 2 to 5 kHz can help. And if it gets too sharp, ease back some of the 7 to 10 kHz range. The key here is to make room for movement. A riser doesn't usually need sub-energy unless you're intentionally designing a special effect. Most of the time, the low end should stay out of the way so the drop can feel bigger. Now we get into the motion. Add auto filter and use it to create the actual rise. A low pass or band pass sweep is the classic move. Start with the cutoff low, maybe somewhere around 300 to 800 Hz, and automate it up toward the top as the riser progresses. You can end somewhere much higher, even up around 10 to 18 Hz, depending on how bright you want it. A little resonance near the end can add tension, but don't overdo it. If you want a darker, more haunted jungle feel, band pass filtering is especially useful because it keeps the sound claustrophobic until the payoff. And here's a useful teacher note, don't make the automation too linear by default. A slow start and a sharper push at the end usually sounds more natural. That curve gives the ear a sense that something is accelerating. Next, add pitch movement. You can automate transpose in Sampler, write MIDI notes that climb upward, or build multiple chains with different transpositions. For most practical work, MIDI note climbing is the cleanest. Even a small movement of 3 to 7 semitones across 1 or 2 bars can be enough to create lift. The point is not to turn the sample into a giant chipmunk climb. The point is to create tension that feels like it's reaching forward. Now bring an echo. A little echo can make the riser feel wider and more expensive. Start with a sync time like 1/8 or 1/4, feedback somewhere around 15 to 35%, and dry slash wet around 10 to 25%. Roll the low end off in the delay so it doesn't clutter the mix. Keep it controlled. In drum and bass, a huge delay wash can blur the groove if you're not careful. But if you automate the wet amount up near the end and then cut it hard at the drop, that contrast can sound massive. After that, add reverb if you want some space. Use it sparingly. A decay of around 1.5 to 4 seconds is usually plenty, with a small pre-delay, a low cut to keep the mud out, and a high cut so it doesn't get glassy and harsh. Think compact, not endless. Unless you're in a breakdown, too much reverb can smear the transition. Utility is your final control tool in the chain. Use it for gain staging and width management. If the sample is too hot before saturation, trim it. If you want the riser to feel like it's opening up, you can widen it gradually toward the end. Another strong move is to keep the first part relatively narrow or even close to mono. Then widen the last bar before the drop. That contrast can make the drop feel much bigger. And that leads us into arrangement. This part matters a lot. A beautifully designed riser placed in the wrong spot still won't hit. In DNB, the best places are before a drop, before a drum edit, before a bass line variation, or at the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar phrase. You can also use it before a fake out or turnaround. Common lengths are 1 bar for a quick hit, 2 bars for a standard transition, and 4 bars for bigger moments. A very effective structure is this. The first bar is sparse and filtered, the second bar gets denser and more saturated, and the last half bar opens up, pitches up, and widens. Then the final moment either cuts dry into the drop, or leaves a tiny tail that gets chopped off right on impact. That last little bit is important. A lot of producers keep adding energy right up to the downbeat. Sometimes the stronger move is to thin things out just before the drop. That space makes the drop feel larger. Once the riser feels right, resample it. This is where you gain control. Route the riser to a new audio track or use resampling, record the performance, and then work with the printed audio. Now you can reverse the tail, tighten the timing, add fades, or chop it into new transition shapes. Resampling also keeps CPU under control, which is always welcome in a busy DNB session. Here's a practical workflow tip. Always check the riser in context with your drums and bass. A soloed riser can sound huge and still fail in the mix. Make sure it's working against the actual break, the bass line, and the rest of the arrangement. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't oversaturate it until it turns into brittle fuzz. Don't leave too much low end in a riser unless you have a specific reason. Don't make the filter sweep so obvious that it sounds like a demo of auto filter. And don't drown the whole thing in reverb, because in fast drum and bass, that can destroy the groove. Also, remember that balance is everything. After heavy processing, use gain compensation so you're judging tone, not just volume. Loud does not automatically mean better. If you want to push this style further, try these advanced ideas. Build the transition in 2 stages. First, create a chopped, filtered, mildly saturated rise. Then resample the tail and give it extra delay or reverse treatment for a second layer of tension. That can sound more believable than one constant sweep. You can also make the slice order less predictable. Repeat 1 slice for tension, jump unexpectedly to a higher chop, return to the original fragment, then finish with a quick burst. That slightly human, slightly unstable feel is very jungle. Velocity is another powerful tool. Use it to vary sample volume, transient strength, filter response, or attack feel. Even before the automation is obvious, rising velocity values can make the phrase feel like it's getting more urgent. And if you want extra dirt, create a parallel dirty lane. Duplicate the chain. Crush 1 version with heavy saturation and a focused EQ shape. Keep it narrow and blend it quietly under the cleaner layer. That gives you grit without losing definition. Before we wrap up, here's a simple practice challenge. Build a 2-bar riser from any soulful sample you have. Load it into Simpler Inside Drum Rack, slice it into at least 4 playable chops, and write a phrase that increases in activity across the 2 bars. Add EQ8, saturator, auto filter, echo, and utility. Automate the filter opening, increase saturation slightly, and widen the stereo field near the end. Then resample it and place it right before a drop at 174 BPM. If you want an extra challenge, make 2 versions, one that feels soulful and uplifting, and one that feels darker, more filtered, and more aggressive. Then test both over a rolling bass line and a breakbeat pattern and see which one cuts through better. So the big takeaway here is this: a good jungle riser is not just a sound design trick, it's arrangement, tension, and contrast working together. Start with a musical sample, slice it into something playable, saturate it with intention, shape the tone, automate the movement, and then place it where it can actually do its job in the track. Do that consistently, and your transitions will stop sounding generic and start sounding like proper jungle and rolling D&B pressure. If you want, I can also turn this into a shorter voiceover version or a more detailed step-by-step narration with exact Ableton action cues.